He did in a crowd, you know?
Were you at that game?
I was at the Rod Gardner game?
Yes.
I was in the West End zone. So I heard the catch before I saw it.
I was about the 20-yard line in the stands, halfway up, pretty much in line with him.
Oh, so you had a great view.
Oh, we'll never forget that
one. Oh, man. I remember the stadium shook, and I couldn't figure out how the stadium – I thought, there's no way he's catching that. I mean, there's no way. Look at all the people. There's no way. And he did. Ben, we need to talk about this playoff thing. We got to talk about the playoff thing, okay? The college football playoff subcommittee, I guess. I don't know all the committees that meet. They're meeting today. In fact, I can tell you, it's the leadership group of the college football playoff. Pete Nakos called it something. Stand by. Pete Nakos from On3.
Remember the name of the other player that Dabo.
Oh, yeah. Brock Bradley.
Quarterback name in there, coach.
Yeah, who's going to start against LSU? Well, I don't know, but you know what I am excited to see? Red shirt and Brock Bradley. We call him Double B. Bro Brad. We call him Bro Brad. Old Bro Brad can sling it now. Unbelievable. Shout out to the Brock Bradley fan club who mentioned that, got in on the text line. Somebody found the quote, the pull quote. That was great. All right, the College Football Playoff Management Committee, which we have, that's a thing that exists in the world, is meeting today virtually. Can't be bothered to meet in person. Virtual meeting. With expansion talks expected to continue. Now, I got to be honest, these talks, I'm like, what are these talks? Everybody but the SEC and ESPN wants 24. The SEC and ESPN don't want any more than 16. What is there to talk about? I'm thinking, why is this meeting even happening?
I was going to say, it's another meeting that could have been an email.
Exactly. Has anybody changed their mind, or can we just not meet today? Do we have to do this? And I love this one, Ben. This is going to make people mad for all the reasons, okay? I think everybody's going to be mad for something different. Because there's some things you're going to like about this and some things you're going to hate that ultimately are going to be reasons you don't like it. Ben, there is a third way that has emerged. And I'll give you three guesses which aggrieved outlet pitched the third way. We were told 16 or 24. But, Ben, what if there were a compromise that would both expand the playoff without really expanding the playoff and also make more money but also not lose money in the media rights? Who would come up with such a plan? Could it be the only network with the broadcast rights to the CFP who doesn't want expansion to 24, but also will now create the idea of expansion without expanding at any point? It is the third way, Ben. It is the ESPN 20-team playoff model that actually, according to some, is just a 16-team model with some play-ins that just happened to align with the exact same TV windows as the current conference championship games. It is on the table, Ben. We are bringing conference championship games in-house as part of the playoff. And that pisses you off to no end, and it thrills my heart. This is exactly what I thought they should do.
It's kind of funny. It's the Big Ten approach that we're going to stay the Big Ten no matter how many teams we have. It's like, as long as you call this a 16 team, that's all we you put as many as you want. Just make sure you call it 16 teams.
A couple of things that Nakos points out here in this On3 story. They're waiting on media projections, which I'm sure ESPN is more than happy to give to them so that Fox can't even get in the door. Which we have to remember that, let's go all the way back. For years, I've been saying that the conference expansion conversation is little more than a proxy war between ESPN and Fox. The SEC is the Army representing ESPN, and the Big Ten is the Army representing Fox. They are like the diplomats. They are the soldiers. They are the people on the front lines. But this is really about ESPN and Fox having a fight over broadcast rights.
Now, let me ask you this. Along those lines, I haven't read this as in-depth as you have. Could it be that ESPN is trying to, that this is some type of compromise? We only want the 16, and we're okay if you farm this out to somebody else for this play-in stuff?
Okay.
Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. We still don't know all the details here, so I am going to try to color inside the lines here. I'm trying to shade this and trying to figure out exactly why ESPN would propose this. Okay. This is the third path. We know about the SEC and ESPN don't want to go past 16. The SEC doesn't want to go past 16 because that is their greatest advantage. They feel they will get an outsized portion of the spots 13 to 16. The Big Ten and the ACC and the Big 12 all want 24 because they feel that it is their best chance to compete for revenue in the playoff. Fox also wants 24 because they know that any expansion past 16, ESPN is going to have to let other people also play in the sandbox. So that's why we have this standoff. ESPN says not any more than 16. They are the only team with broadcast rights. As soon as it goes past 16, other people get to play. Here's where it gets interesting. ESPN says, here's counterpoint to 16 and 24. Let's do 16, but let's do play-ins to replace conference championship games. Now, here's what I think is going to happen. I think, so again, the details are very scattered here. We're not sure what the exact proposal is going to be. No one has said. I've looked it up. No one has the plan, okay? I'm looking for Dellinger or somebody to have the plan. No one has the plan. Here's what I think the plan is going to be. Nothing changes over here with the 12. 12 becomes 16, nothing changes. Or really just the 12. What we will do is we will have 8 teams fighting for 4 spots. What ESPN would like to do is ESPN would like to fold those games into the playoff. Where Fox loses a championship game, ESPN gets basically conference championship revenue for a play-in game. And you get the number 3 and 4 teams in a certain conference that get to play each other. That's basically what this ends up being, or the 4 and 5 teams in a conference playing each other, depending on who doesn't get in.
The conferences, all the conferences still have to approve this. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
This is the hill I will die on. Conference championships will not go away because that money goes – because the conferences themselves make money off of that.
So what if the compromise there is if they can fight? Because here's what, and I agree with that. Okay, that's been your argument the whole time. We're not just gonna make $250 million disappear.
In an era where we are driven by what we can make money off of, why would conferences ever agree to get rid of conference championships when, like, every conference has to agree on that, but then you're telling me that only 8 teams might benefit? That is a rich get richer model in my mind.
So this is what NACO says, okay, in the On3 article about this. To replace conference championship games, I need to back up here. No, this is fine. To replace conference championship games, sources have said conferences are looking for roughly $200 to $250 million in annual combined value. It's a reason why Sankey has not rushed to support a 24-team format, because basically he thinks that the conference championship games would go away and also the revenue would not get put back. This would be totally new revenue generated. Big Ten Commissioner Tony Vitti remains a staunch supporter of 24, is what they say. So, to your point, The conferences want that revenue. They want that revenue to stay. So maybe the conferences get to keep that revenue. That would actually help ESPN. Maybe we don't change anything. See, I'm thinking ESPN's got a hostile takeover of Fox, but maybe we don't. Maybe we don't change anything. Maybe we let the Big Ten game remain on Fox. But instead of Ohio State versus Indiana, it's, I don't know, Penn State and Illinois. You know, or Michigan and Penn State. I don't know, whoever the fourth and fifth best teams are. To get from 20 to 16. So we're replacing conference championship games. We're just going to let regular season champs get the auto bids. And we're going to now do playoff playing games. Which, again, feels like the way the sport's going right now anyway. With the bloated leagues and all that stuff. My position on conference championship games is quite clear. I didn't love the idea of replacing a game that used to be one versus two for all the marbles with team four and team five to see who gets the last playoff spot. Didn't love that. But in terms of integrating in the system, this is not the worst idea. I really don't like, though, that ESPN is trying to fully dictate the terms of this against the will of the other conferences. It what is good in my mind, and people might disagree, in my mind, what is good for the sport and what has been good for the sport in terms of a week in, week out, the product on the field, is that NBC gets more of an ability to showcase how it puts on a football game. Fox gets more of an ability to showcase how it puts on a football game. The CW gets more of an ability to showcase how it puts on a football game instead of mostly ESPN and CBS getting to do this. In my opinion, the best thing that can happen to the college football playoff to level it up, even if they don't expand at all, is getting more networks involved, getting access to more things. One of the reasons that ESPN gets to be the sounding board for the sport, gets to be the microphone of the sport, is that the biggest games of the season are all on ESPN. The NFL is not like that. The NFL bids out the Super Bowl. They rotate it. They rotate it among several different entities. Same thing. CBS and Fox, every week, CBS and Fox have roughly an identical number of games. You've got NBC in there. You've got Amazon Prime in there. The more entities that are allowed to be a part of the coverage of the sport, the better the overall coverage is. I think one of the best things that happened in the NBA this season is that Prime Video got involved, and some of these NBC got involved. And so you know what? ESPN had a better product. Why? Because they were not alone in a virtual monopoly of half the league. There were other hands in the cookie jar. I like what Peacock and NBC have done for baseball coverage. Apple TV, good for baseball coverage. Everybody's better. Or you're just not going to do it anymore, like ESPN. They just decided, we're not going to do it anymore. That's better. I think everybody knows it's better. I'm not sure I support a system where ESPN gets to dictate the terms of the playoff getting larger without input from other networks. Because I think, I've said this many times, that expanding from 16 to 24 is not about competitiveness in terms of who wins the national championship game. We're far beyond that. The 18th ranked team is not winning a national title. That's not what this is about. This is about access and equity is what it's about. Access and equity. Equity in terms of opportunity, but equity also in, like, stakes in the game. And
say that again now.
Expanded from 16 to 20, or from 12 to 16, or 16 to 24, whatever, is not about getting in teams that can win the national title, in my opinion. That's not what it's about. It's about access and equity.
Yeah, well, that's so I was just thinking about, you know, the hill I said I would die on. There's one way that perhaps I'm not willing to die on that hill, and that is if you expand far enough that you have guaranteed spots. And I don't like this. I mean, to me, this is not competitive to have guaranteed spots at all. But you could sell it to a conference like the ACC if you said, you know, some estimates, the ACC doesn't publish exactly what they make off of the ACC championship. Estimates are like $8 to $15 million. If you guaranteed, say, two spots for each of the Power Four, and some would want more than two, obviously, and you could make up enough, you could make up that difference and then some, then perhaps that would be the one way. Financially, you got to make it make sense.
That's right.
But then that moves us to when you are guaranteeing spots, then are you really looking for the 24 best teams? And you're not, or 20 best teams, or 12. You know what I mean?
That's right. I don't know that even the play-in games. See, this is what I mean. This is what I mean with the play. I know we got to go to break here. This is what I mean. These play-in games are not about finding out who the deserving teams are and letting them compete to get in. It's not. You're assuming that all of the teams from each conference have two teams that if either one gets in, the playoff is whole. That's silly. Think about my principal argument. The ACC championship last year was against two teams that were not playoff caliber, and we all knew it. We all knew that was true. It doesn't mean that an ACC championship didn't matter, but imagine that's what all of these games are going to be.
Right. Right.
That's basically where we are. Stay with us. We continue on hour three. More of this up next.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown,
we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5.
And he's a local paper manufacturer, Dunder Mifflin. Some companies still know how business gets done. That's what he wrote that. Michael Scott wrote that. That's number one. Number two, you're going to have to explain to me every single part of that. You're telling me that at Cornell, they are hunting wild game and cooking it in the dorms? Is that right?
Not cooking. Butchering.
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 Butchering in the dorms.
This has to happen before you cook.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I just assumed. What is that?
Also, it's Cornell. Prestigious University, Ithaca, New York.
Who's snuck by admissions there? Grizzly Adams here just absolutely carving a bear in 106.
If this is a story out of, I don't know, West Virginia, I'm going, yeah, that tracks. Cornell?
No.
You jokers are becoming great doctors and butchering bears in your dorm rooms. What are we doing?
And those are your two paths at Cornell. That's what happens. You're telling me that, wild game. Do we know what this was?
It's something to do with a short black bear season. And I do not see what the loophole is that they found. But beginning with this academic year, section has a new the cooking and community kitchens section has a new clause that says, quote, processing wild game animals in community kitchens is strictly prohibited.
I mean, if they were going to share?
I'm just imagining.
What if they were going to share with everybody?
Walking into a community kitchen in a dorm, and the old boy got a bear hanging up by the back legs.
hey guys. Sorry, just skinning this bear, no big deal.
It's like, y'all mind if I warm up my hot pocket real quick? You can borrow the microwave.
No, go ahead. I'll just be carving this bear. That some crazy stuff happened. Like, freshman dorm, crazy stuff happens in your freshman dorm, okay? I guarantee you that never happened in my freshman dorm. Like, we had all kinds of stuff. Stuff broke. We had people showing up in weird costumes. Like, it was a mess. We had a fun freshman dorm. We are so far away from dressing a bear in the community kit. I do wonder, like, not even if they're going to share. First of all, what was the hall meeting like on this? Who led the hall meeting? I mean, what was it like, one of the emails that's definitely for somebody but has to address everybody? Listen, all of you who have been killing wild bears and bringing them in here, you're going to need to stop. We've got to change into policy. So anybody who's doing that, just know, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. All of you, okay?
There's some things you just know. You know, or do you? It's like eating pod detergent. You know, like the little detergent. You apparently not everyone does know. You don't. Not everyone knows that you can't butcher wild game in a dorm kitchen, apparently. Mr. Anafender said, Cornell has a world-renowned taxidermy program. Everyone knows this.
Everyone knows. All right. Wait a minute.
I knew this was coming.
John Stone, E3, 1988. My neighbor was dressing a wild turkey in the community shower. In the community shower. Oh, man. The day I moved out of Lever after my freshman year, I got an email blast telling people not to burn their books in the stairwell. The email, not the fire alarm, is what did that? Oh, man, that's unbelievable. Text from the 843.
Oh, here
respect
they come.
To the Cornell Bear Hunters. Got to be in the minority there. My roommate in Malden Hall grew marijuana under his desk. Seems normal compared to Cornell.
Probably smelled better than the butchering of the bear.
What smells like a dead bear in here?
Maybe they're masking the weed smell. That's what it is.
That's why they had to put a stop to it.
I'm just imagining some mom checking in their freshman on day one, and she's nervous about sending little Timmy to school. And she walks down the hall, and there's a bear hanging. There's a bear head in a tray. Get back in the car, Timmy.
So why'd you pick Cornell? Well, I like it because it's a little rugged. Like, they'll let me kill my bear and dress it in the kitchen. Like, that's what I'm about. Oh, man, they had to delete that video. My gosh. Texas says the E3 story is true. It's true. We've got multiple people confirming the E3 story about the wild turkey in 1988. Oh, Texter. You think they'd barely notice? Oh, come on. I tell ya. Text from the 248 says, bear serrating helps with scalpel skills. If you're a doctor. You know, you dissect the frog in high school, you dissect the bear in college. Next step.
There's so many parts of this story I can't get past. The first being Cornell.
Ithaca is more upstate, right?
Yes.
Ithaca is more upstate. So you might attract a different caliber than like
but
Harvard,
but
Yale,
Cornell,
whatever.
Still.
Look, money's green. I'm not asking if they like to hunt and then dress the animals if their money's green. Yes, Cornell's mascot. I know that from Andy Bernard. That's a bobble big red bear.
Oh, it is a bear.
Take that sweatshirt off. So maybe it's sabotaged. Maybe that's why you can't do it.
Oh, man. It was a grisly discovery.
Come on, you guys. That's not right. Oh, here's the Clemson Athletics one. Casey Stone caught and brought a live possum into our place in Calhoun Courts, 1998.
I have zero doubt in my mind. Zero doubt in my mind.
That's incredible.
I've told you this before. Now, I was in high school in the 1900s, okay?
Yes. Way back.
The 1980s, to be exact. I went deer hunting before high school before. Never killed anything. And then, you know, this is like you could leave school if you had a study hall period. Man, people would just leave. You could also leave at lunchtime, go to McDonald's, come back. It was fantastic.
Simpler time.
Our high school cafeteria had a glass wall to the park between it and the parking lot. So you have to imagine, and there's parking spaces, you know, so the front of your vehicle, you pull into a parking space, you're looking right into the cafeteria. a couple of guys, I don't know if they just didn't come to school or coming back, they had killed a deer and had it across the hood of their Jeep and pulling the school like nothing happened. And there's girls screaming and taking their lunch trays and tater tots and running for their lives sitting in the lunchroom because there's this dead deer sprawled out across the hood of this Jeep right outside the window.
Do we think it was roadkill or a deer hunt?
Look, man, where I grew up, it could have been either. Okay. We didn't let things go to waste.
Good meat on that deer.
I mean, it, you know.
Our bed's full. It had
a good rack. We were going to put that on the wall. Like, what'd you kill that with? Jeep.
Oh, man. Shout out to Cornell. Honestly, I'm glad it's happening at Cornell because so many office quotes are on our text line right now.
I feel so much better about Cornell.
Yes. I think in both instances, because I do feel like they really did a good job of like, hey, we probably shouldn't let this happen. Let's close this loophole. It's probably good. So shout to the RAs or whatever who did that. And also shout out to the people that did it, but checked first. We're asking permission, not forget. We're actually not asking anybody. It's not in the rule book. It's not like you're just breaking rules.
Yeah.
You're just doing what you're allowed to do.
It's funny the story references some loophole, but doesn't tell me what the loophole is. But regardless, you know, a lot of folks on campus listen to the show and to the station daily over there. I got to think there's someone in student housing right now frantically going through the book going, okay, do we have anything at all about dressing field animals? Well, I guess you wouldn't be field dressing. You get the point.
Dorm dressing. Some RA is going to be a hero for suggesting that. All right, let's take a break. Final segment. I will talk about the Braves. Let's talk about the Braves when we come back. Interesting weekend for Atlanta. Final segment of the program is next.
One stadium, one fan base, one unforgettable tradition begins. Clemson takes on Georgia Southern in the 2026 home opener, and every section has a color: orange, white, purple. Introducing Stripe the Valley. Find your section, wear your color, and be a part of history. Get your tickets today at clemsontigers.com/tickets, and let's stripe the valley.
I'm not sure if we did this on purpose or not, but the best way to stripe the valley might be to pick you up a shirt at Tiger Sports Shop.
There you go.
I mean, like, perfect. Unbelievable. To me, there's no better place. In fact, I got to tell this story. So, over the weekend, my parents' birthdays, my dad's birthday was actually yesterday. My parents' anniversary is this week, and my mom's birthday is coming up. And so, we celebrated all of that together on Saturday. Some members of my family went to Tiger Sports Shop to buy something for my mom, who was in Tiger Sports Shop buying something for my dad. That's awkward. So mom knew exactly what she was getting because it was my brother. My brother goes, so what do you want, mom? Just tell me what you want. She bought it. Awkward, but they both had the same great idea. And it's an idea that I've had many times. When in doubt, Tiger Sports Shop, man. Best apparel, best stuff. 50 years in service of the Clemson community. Downtown, Highway 123, always up at tigersports.com.
With 13 straight hours of...
Remarkable location. I mean, it's like they built a location specific for us. They didn't, but we're going to say they did. It's absolutely perfect. Tons of room. It's very comfortable. Great food, a lot of different options there. Family friendly place, easy to get to. Southern Weaving Food Hall here in Easley, and you know, we're going to take a little different approach to how we do the show, so it won't be exactly like in years past. Also going to have our new t-shirts available there, so go ahead and make plans for that. August 27th. You know, think of it as a family dinner. People are family. Come eat with us. Hang out with us. Let's talk a little football.
It's going to be really fun. I'm very excited about it. Before we get to the Braves, let's go to Jason, who's up with us next on the phone. 654 Roar, you want to join him? Hey, Jason.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've heard this story on the radio. another radio station, a country music station. It's just kind of mentioned it. I didn't know if it was believe it or not. I looked it up. I thought, sure enough, it's true. Did you hear about the new scandal that I got in cycling with the female cycling?
Jason, I'm having a little hard time hearing you there.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the story about the female cyclist?
Are you talking, well, there is a story we talked about last week, and I'm hesitant to.
Okay. That's just interesting. I was just thinking about that, is if you are starting a female cyclist team, there are certain things you look for when you scout, you know.
I think so. Just like arm length at the combine. I mean.
There you go, man. Hey, the guy who played, Ben Jones, his name passed away, that played tutor on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah. Grew up watching that show, very young. I guess, you know, he was a politician too for several years, but definitely rest in peace to him. And, you know, there's a Nicholas, I don't know if you heard this, Nicholas Cage is going to play John Madden in the new John Madden movie.
What?
That's right. Yeah. It's going to Prime Video. Yeah.
Nicholas Cage as John Madden.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. I can't take him as, since he done the Wicker Man, I just can't take him seriously as an actor. That kind of ruined him. But anyways, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Great stuff. Thanks, Jason. Really appreciate it.
Nicolas Cage, one of the most overrated actors there is.
Oh, man. You just got to know what it is, you know? You got to know what it is you're doing.
John Madden, though?
John Madden.
If he can pull that off, I may have to rethink that.
Is this true? Christian Bale's Al Davis in the Madden movie? Christian Bale? The supporting actor is Al Davis? Oh, man. How about that? Hey, before we get to the Braves, I want to say this. I can't believe I'm just leaving Nicolas Cage, but I want to get this in before I forget. Don Nelson passed away over the weekend, the legendary NBA coach.
Saw that.
Can I tell you something? I think one of the most underrated coaches, because he never said anything except to Karl Malone. He did bow up to Karl Malone that one time. He never said anything to anybody. Great offensive mind. Those Warriors, the fun Warriors, Monte Ellis, Baron Davis Warriors, his brainchild. Dallas Mavericks, just a really, really fun coach. 1,335 wins. He's behind Greg Popovich. That's it. Like, I don't think people would put Don Nelson up there. Because his teams were, I would say his teams were underwhelming in some ways in the postseason. I would say that. I think that's fair. Milwaukee Bucks, Golden State Warriors, New York Knicks, Dallas Mavericks. He did retire with the most coaching wins ever. Only Greg Popovich now has more. 75-91 in the postseason. He was a good player as well. But, again, a brilliant offensive mind, three-time NBA Coach of the Year, really just a solid, solid coach, like helped get Dirk Nowitzki's career started, was very instrumental in Dirk's development there. And Dirk Nowitzki said really nice stuff about Don Nelson in his Hall of Fame induction. I think Don Nelson is one of the most underappreciated great coaches in all of professional sports, and it's sad that he had to die to get him his due, but RIP to him. I'm glad people are getting to know that, because I feel like he's just not on that list.
We were going to talk about the Braves. Quark, as a Braves fan, this is going to surprise you, but I wasn't really upset by the Braves performances over the weekend. Over this series with the Yankees. They lose 2 out of 3. You certainly don't want to lose a series. It just all around seemed like good baseball.
It was good baseball. I mean, you lose on Saturday basically because of the balk, and that's a highly questionable balk. Again, we talked about earlier in the show, by rule, I think it was, but it's a rule that's never called. And it really is more of a technicality. The home plate umpire on Saturday was an abomination. Should never call another game behind the plate. Just a brutal mess the whole day. Yesterday, it was pitching and defense, obviously. And then Friday's the one that hurts. Friday's the one that hurts because Tyler Mahle, who I described as essentially the biggest bum that's ever bummed in Major League Baseball, six shutout innings was absolutely brilliant, and you get a two-nothing lead in the ninth, you're going to hold it nine times out of ten with Iglesias. Didn't happen on Friday. So that one's a little bit of a bummer. But if you'd said you're going to play 3 one-run games with the Yankees, you're going to go 1-2, at this point in the season, you're probably going to take that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much I can complain about with that one. It does, however, put a little more pressure on tonight's game as you start a three-game with the Mets. The Mets have kind of owned you this year, and so they're going to certainly feel confident coming into Atlanta. You got to get back on that winning track. You don't want to have a four-game losing streak here. So tonight, I would say tonight's an important game.
Yeah, the Mets are 2-0-1 against the Braves in series this year. The Braves have yet to beat the Mets. They split with them in Atlanta back the July 4th weekend. They won the first two games and then lost the next two. They have lost, let me see, right, there's 1, 2, 3. They've lost 3 one-run games to the Mets this year. So a lot of these games, a couple of blowouts in there, but a lot of these games are really close. Christian Scott on the hill for the Mets had a good season. He's pitched well lately and really has elevated. He is 0-3 in three career starts against Atlanta, mostly because of lack of run support, but still. Bryce Elder is on the mound. He is, let me see, he lost against the Mets, got roughed up in New York back on June the 14th, gave up 6 earned on 10 hits and 4 innings in probably his worst start of the year. Between that and the Milwaukee start the next time out, he's pitching a lot better. If Bryce Elder, and I know that's a difference of opinion about Bryce Elder, I've said I knew he was going to come down a little from his 2 ERA, he wasn't a 2 ERA guy, but if he can pitch like he's generally pitched, I think he gives the Braves a decent number 3 option in there as a starting pitcher and a guy that you can throw some innings in the postseason. He's completed 6 or more innings in 3 of his last 4 starts, including against good offenses like Miami and Washington. So there's reason to believe that he's sort of come out of that lull in June, and he's back to pitching more like what he did in April and May.
Based off of what you have available to you right now for the Braves, I can't complain about Bryce Elder.
No, absolutely. To me, he's a winning player this year. And I, you know, based on how he pitched last year, you're not really sure you're going to be saying that. And
he's eaten up a lot of innings too. He's pitched 126 innings this year. And you had to have that.
You have to do it, especially if you're going to throw Grant Holmes once every 5 days. We know how that goes. And you're kind of having to hoof it with the other two spots in some ways with Perez and Lopez and all these guys. So you're not worried at all about a lack of scoring in Yankee Stadium this weekend? Zero concern?
Well, it just sort of how that series went. I'm always concerned. I mean, you want more, but given the way that series sort of flowed, it was going to be more of a pitcher's duel kind of a series, and it was. One thing about the Mets coming to town, they've won 5 out of 6. They're playing much better baseball right now.
I think the best they've looked all year. Pretty impressive. Yeah, the only thing I would be a little bit worried about with Atlanta is in their last 7 games, they've only scored more than 4 runs one time. Now, they blew out Miami. They're playing a lot of like 4-1, 4-2 type. In fact, they've scored exactly 4 runs 4 times in that span of 7. Playing a lot of 4-1, 4-2 games. Really leaning on that pitching. And you can see that bullpen that was elite, elite, elite. Some of those guys, you're just going to give up runs sometime. Glacius is going to give up runs sometime. Dylan Lee has been a little hit or miss the last few weeks. You really need Robert Suarez to come back. Texter, SEC hater, says, I would like to see Suarez as a closer if he gets back. Iglesias has been struggling. It's interesting, even when he gets the save. Part of that is a natural regression, though, because he was giving up no base runners early in the season. Now he's starting to give up base runners. I still think you keep Iglesias there, but Suarez is an excellent relief pitcher and can slot everybody down if and when he gets back. And, you know, I'll check on that for tomorrow's show about a timetable for him. It shouldn't be too much longer that they're going to be without him. From the Mets standpoint, they are playing much better. You know, it's weird. Sometimes the trade deadline comes and teams that sell get a little boost, or teams that are out of it get a little boost because the guys that are there know they're not traded. They know where they're coming. You know, there's been speculation and scuttlebutt for some weeks. You know, the organization believes in you. You have a little bit of a temporary bump. They've won 5 of 6 on the road. So this is the end of a road trip. If you're Atlanta, maybe the end of the road trip's a good time to get a team. Normally, if you're talking about a 10-day road trip, that last series is normally when you start wearing down a little. And so I think the Braves are in a good spot there to come back home. Although I did say this, if you're going to go to Yankee Stadium and play the Yankees, your next series is against the Mets. Why would you not just play the Mets in New York? You won't even have to change hotels. You just go to City instead of Yankee Stadium. I don't understand. I don't understand why you didn't do that. Final minute or so of the show. We got a lot that we didn't get to today. There are people who have asked me about Clemson baseball. We didn't mention Nick Schnabel today, so we'll talk about that. That announcement from Thursday, Friday, and Eric Bagich's press conference. So we'll get to that. We've got some other college football stuff, some interesting quarterback conversation I want to get into.